This is Lori Proctor with Kathleen Todd of Valdez Medical Clinic and Providence Valdez Medical Center. Thanks for joining us once again, Kathy.
Glad to be here.
All right. Well, we've been meeting every week talking about coronavirus, and not a lot of news here in Valdez this past week, but there's still activity, still things going on. So what's the status right now in our community?
Well, I guess as of yesterday, there were 12 cases, 11 locals and one non-resident. So that's way down from the 30-plus that we had at one point. Remember, we used to consider 12 as being horrible. So, you know, let's not say, oh, it's wonderful. It's like, instead of hitting me every 5 minutes, now you're only hitting once every half an hour. It's still not normal, but it's better than it was. I think people are, you know, for one thing, some specific incidents are finally getting under control. And I think that people are taking a little bit more seriously in terms of, no, don't go back to work if you've been exposed. No, you have to cooperate with contact tracing. Don't just say, I'm not going to tell you who I ate dinner with, because then they'll have to be in quarantine. There's a point to quarantine, and it's better to quarantine the few people that you came in contact with rather than having it spread all over everything. So I think people are kind of getting back into that groove, and that's bringing the caseload down.
Well, and explain that. I know you can't talk individual cases, but when someone is positive, and I know everyone knows kind of the general rule, but I think there's kind of a general loosening of things. People are vaccinated and feeling a little more free about being out and about. But when someone is positive, how does that change now that people are vaccinated? Say you're vaccinated, fully vaccinated, and someone in your household is positive. We haven't really talked about that much. Like, what are the new quarantine things?
They all say except in healthcare. So the rules for me and my crew are different. But the rules for the general public are, if you're vaccinated and you have a contact that is, public health calls you up and said, oh, somebody said you were in the same room that they were for 15 minutes and they've turned out positive, you can say, phew, I'm vaccinated, I don't have to be in quarantine. They'll still have you watch yourself like a hawk, because the vaccine's not 100%, but you don't have to be out on quarantine. But if you aren't vaccinated, you have to stay home. It's not, well, I'll go to work and be careful, or I'll wear my mask in the post office. It's, no, stay home, have people bring you your food, have people bring you your toilet paper. Don't go out, because while it's incubating, you don't know whether you're the person who's going to come down with it, either asymptomatic or symptomatic. And you got to wait a week and then have a test, or have to wait 10 days to wait that time for the incubation period to see whether you're the person who caught it from them or who didn't catch it from them.
Well, and of course, the largest numbers of population now that are not vaccinated would be youth under 16, because it's not available. So, but they are, if the rules still stand true, or the research, they're probably the lowest odds of getting COVID, right?
Of getting really bad disease. You know, kids are basically smokers' lungs and heart disease and, you know, a bunch of things like that. Not to say that kids can't get sick, but fewer of them get really sick. Maybe fewer of them catch it, probably fewer of them, especially the little kids, like the before puberty kids, probably fewer of them transmit it to you, because maybe they don't have as many viruses coming out of their noses and mouths as the grown-ups do. Nobody really understands quite why that is, but they can get it. And so you're right. You know, when we say, oh, everybody who wants a vaccine has had one, that doesn't apply to the kids. So,
and any word on that front for kids' vaccine?
They're working on that. I think that the most recent thing I heard was that they were hoping to know by June whether they could go down to lower ages on the vaccines.
And Kathy, I read a CDC reported some numbers, and because we're hitting that point at which, you know, the vaccine's readily available and people are getting it. But there's a ceiling, you know, of people who want it going and getting it. And the CDC numbers that came out said, well, if, you know, there's people who are reluctant to get it, right? So if they, all those people who reportedly were reluctant before did not get it, we would be at 61%. And it said that if everybody who was reluctant did get it, we'd be at 66%. So that number kind of surprised me because, you know, the numbers to reach.
Those aren't the numbers that I've heard. The problem is that when you say, you know, oh, herd immunity we've got to get to, and nobody really knows what the number is, some of these more contagious variants, like the UK variant, which we do have in Alaska, you have to get to a higher number if you've got a more contagious variant. So we're trying to get to herd immunity before we get all those all those mutants that are more contagious. But
well, I guess my question
is, if you can't count the kids, if you don't count the kids because they can't get a vaccine yet, what's the percentage of kids in your town or in your airplane or, you know, wherever you're being exposed, because they aren't going to stop it as much as is a vaccinated adult or a vaccinated kid. So we'd have to get a lot of the adults vaccinated in order to really have the herd immunity effect.
And with the numbers that you're seeing, is there a chance that we're not going to hit herd immunity? Because, you know, every time you see some numbers, it seems like there's quite a few folks electing not to get the vaccine. So could that become a reality that's just not achievable?
It certainly could, especially you have to remember that the rest of the world is not up to the same level of vaccination as the United States is. Europe, for instance, said, well, okay, we're going to give everybody one vaccine and then we'll come back and do the second one later. So they've got a bunch of people in Europe. They haven't even started in some of the third world at all. You know, maybe they've just got their health care providers or not even that. So those people are still going to be a reservoir for the virus being reintroduced and reintroduced in different means. So it's really important for people to get the vaccine for themselves as well as for everybody else. So, you know, I wear a mask for you and you wear a mask for me. I stay away from you 6 feet and you stay away from me, and that helps us both. The vaccines definitely make me less contagious to you, but they also mean that if I catch it, I'm going to be way less likely to get super sick, which helps the system because I'm not, you know, lying there in a hospital bed and taking up a ventilator that everybody needs, but also that I'm not that sick. Since we really don't know what happens with COVID in the long run, it's important not to catch COVID in the first place. We have lots of examples of things where, you know, this disease is having consequences 6 months later. And so we can only speculate about what it's like 20 years later. But you, when they say, oh, gosh, there were blood clots from the vaccine in one in a million. Well, we know there are blood clots from the vaccine or from the disease. Quite a few. and, you know, we've had somebody in town who got a heart attack after having COVID. Somebody who used to live here, you know, got it, was in the hospital, went home, and got pulmonary emboli and was sicker from that than he was from the original. You know, so these are people that I know who have had blood clot problems just within the first year after they got it. And so what is it going to be like in the long run? You really don't want it. One thing I should say is that there's a proposal, because we're getting to such saturation in the vaccine in Valdez, that there not be any more community pods. I hope that isn't actually the case, but we don't have, you know, 200 more people who want to get the vaccine this week. We're kind of running out of people, and I think that there are people who want to get it. They just kind of wanted to see how the first part went, or they're waiting for time that they would have time to kind of feel under the weather for 2 days after they've got the vaccine. I think there's a lot of people who are procrastinating, but they're not saying no. And we don't want to tell those people, well, you know, too bad, so sad, you can't get it now. We want to make sure that it's still available to those people that are
Kathy, what do you think?
late adopters.
Percentage of people, and this, you know, I know this is just a guess, but of the percentage of people here in Valdez that are just a no, don't want the vaccine.
You know, I don't know that. I don't know that. Because I talk to more people who are still thinking than I talk to no, of course, but that's who's talking to me.
Well, so I guess you know, maybe I to rephrase saying, the question, how, because I was surprised.
I just talked to a health professional in Anchorage just yesterday, and, you know, by the end of our conversation, I said, well, do I have you convinced? She says, well, probably. I got to think about this. And I don't know what she's going to do, but she had a lot of questions in her mind. And I know every health professional in this town that I know is very happy to give people more information. Well, I've heard that, and we can say, yep, or nope, that's not good information. It's hard to do question and answers on the computer or whatever. Sometimes you want your particular concern addressed, and all the doctors would love to do that with you.
Yeah, and definitely the percentage of folks, you know, and things that I've read that are, I thought there was a bigger contingent of people who are undecided. So what I've read, I've been kind of surprised. Oh, I thought it was more than that, that were undecided. Do you feel like you expected more people to be kind of undecided or still thinking, or are you about where you thought it would be?
Well, let's say, you know, I get a sample of the people who are undecided. Those are the people that I talk to. the people who are saying, absolutely not, never going to do it, why should they talk to me? So I don't have a good sample to be able to give you statistics.
Yeah, and I guess you never know either on a national level. Valdez could be very different than
exactly
what the numbers are there. But I think Alaska in general and Valdez in particular has done talking to other places, a pretty stellar job of getting the vaccine out to people who do want it. So let's go there. What are the plans for the vaccines in the coming month?
Well, everybody would like to get to the ability for you to just say, hey, you know, here I am for my physical and at my doctor's office. Can I just get a vaccine while I'm here? We'd love to do that. As far as I know, it still comes in vials of 10 or vials of 6. And so that is really hard to do in a doctor's office without wasting some, because it's not like a vial of 10 tetanus shots where it keeps for 6 months after you open it. I don't know exactly what the...
Well, it's been, you know, really...
It keeps for a long time. This keeps for like 5 hours after you open it. And so I think that it's still going to be... we're still going to have organization somehow so that we don't open a bottle of 10 and only use it for one or two people.
Yeah, it's pretty easy process to sign up and then go to the mass vaccine clinic.
Right at the moment,
it's been pretty simple.
Today is the last scheduled first dose clinic for Valdez. Something else is going to happen. I'm sure you won't have to go to the airport in Anchorage to get your next vaccine, but today is the last first dose clinic, and I think there are plenty of vaccines. So call up public health and afternoon if you've just been procrastinating.
All right. And then I wanted to ask as well, because you know, the charge is get your first shot, then the charge is get your second shot, and then a lot of folks at this point fully vaccinated. But have you read much about the need for boosters? Is there any new data on that?
I don't think there's anything new, but I think that people are kind of resigning themselves to the fact that this might be a vaccine where they have to, either it wears off or the virus changes enough that you want the booster for the new Brazil, UK, South Africa variants that kind of get around. So far, the vaccine is doing pretty well against the variants, but we don't know yet how long the vaccine lasts because we've only had the vaccine since December. So we'll just have to see how long it lasts.
Well, how do you determine that? I mean, literally, do we wait till you know, people who have been vaccinated start getting it again? Or is there, how do you determine that?
They can measure, you have two kinds of immunity, two categories of immunity. One is antibodies circulating in your system. And those are something you could just, you know, hold your arm out and get a blood test done and find out and they are doing that all the time. The other thing is, how much memory does your body have for this? And that's a little bit harder to judge if the virus is still going around big time by a year from now. We'll be able to tell by, people are starting to not have antibodies in their bloodstream and they're getting sick. Or we'll be able to say, well, they don't have any antibodies in their bloodstream, but nobody's getting sick. So the memory part is kind of hidden and much harder to measure. There are ways to measure the memory part, but that's quite difficult. And so we're going to have to ask the scientists to try to tell us that. Nobody knows yet.
Yeah, most definitely. So I'm sure more data will be coming on that front. Any other new information, new tests, new data?
No, but let me go back a little bit. You had asked about, well, what if you are vaccinated? I think that it's going to be more and more, somebody said granular and about, you know, what the response is going to be. I think it's going to be more and more decided, you know, like what can you do and what kind of gatherings can we have and that sort of thing. The CDC just this week came out with a, it's going back up again. Please don't have gatherings inside. Please stay out. And they're saying, please stay outside. That outside really is better than inside. The virus, you know, gets dispersed all over every place instead of being in a confined space. That makes sense. And it's really true. The people with vaccinations can get away with more than people without vaccinations, but we are not really sure about these variants. And so they're still saying, even if you have a vaccination, please wear your mask. So we don't get the variants going. But on the other hand, grandparents can go see their grandkids, even though the grandkids can't get a vaccine yet. But if the grandparents have a vaccine, or the parents have a vaccine, then even though the kids might bring it home from school, they're not going to spread it to the adults who have the asthma and the smoking and the heart disease. And so it's going to be a lot more, a lot safer, and we're not going to overwhelm our medical facilities. There's some new treatments that are getting done now, and they're still pretty expensive, so we really don't want, as a nation, we don't want to be, you know, having to hand them out, but they do help, and we have them available in Valdez. So it's becoming a little bit more business as usual with this disease, but it still could go haywire in a moment if we're not careful.
And really, general health is probably a big determinant. You know, we don't really always talk about that, but a little bit of any more lines drawn between, you know, if you're a smoker, then this disease is worse. If you're, you know, any, or is it just in general, any underlying health conditions are going to make COVID a little more hinky for
you? Yeah, it's the ones you'd expect, like people who have chronic obstructive lung disease from smoking. It's also some that maybe you wouldn't say, and we've known this from the beginning, that diabetics do poorly. And a lot of people in this country have diabetes because they're so overweight. That is, they have a tendency toward it, and the overweight brought it out. And so if we as a nation could get some more exercise and slim down a bit and not eat, you know, totally empty calories, we wouldn't have so much diabetes, and then presumably people would have more capability of fighting the virus if they caught it.
All right. So in closing, I think we've hit a lot of topics, but I'll open it up if there's something we missed, I guess.
I don't have anything. I would emphasize that it's worth getting the vaccine in this case for yourself and for your family, because we're probably not going to reach herd immunity until the kids can join in the fun. And
tonight is the last.
If you want a vaccine in Valdez, Thursday might be your last easy chance. So today, Thursday, is call up and
it might see if you can get it'll be available. This might take a little more scheduling and planning, and not as immediate.
It's not going to be every week. So maybe a little bit trickier. So if you've been just postponing it, today's the day.
All right. Well, thanks for that information and catching up with us. And we'll miss you next Wednesday. I'll be out of town, but then the Wednesday after that, we'll check in if that's all right.
Yeah, sounds good.